John chapter 1, we've already looked at the first four verses, but because the chapter is so short, we're going to go ahead and read them again anyways. I hope that doesn't hurt anybody here. But we're going to start in verse number 1 and read all the way through verse number 10. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's go to the Lord together this evening. Father, thank You for this Sunday evening. Thank You for, Lord, this day. And now as we finish out the day, as we gather together, we pray for Your presence among us. We know You promised, Lord, where two or three are gathered, there You are in the midst, and so we count upon that. And Lord, we ask You to use these verses that You gave to John to pen for us. Lord, use them to be an encouragement, a challenge, and a blessing to us this evening. I pray, Father, You give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, I pray that You would use something that would be said tonight that would challenge our faith and increase our relationship with the Lord our God. Bless the preaching of Your word tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first four verses that we looked at last week, we saw the manifestation of Christ. And John was convincing us and giving us proof and evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was not just humanly born from Mary, but He was the very Son of God, God in a human body. And He said, that which was God we saw, we touched, we heard, we've handled Him. He is the Word of life. He is life. He is eternal life. And we talked about it last week, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, that He was God in a human body. Having said that, John then says in verse 5, this then, and those words connect us to the first four verses, this then is the message. Because of the manifestation, and he used that word twice back in verse 2, for the life was manifested, at the end of the verse, and was manifested unto us. Because He was manifested, now this is the message. This then is the message that we have heard of Him. And to summarize, before we even get started, to summarize the message that John is communicating to us that was brought by the Lord Jesus Christ is simply this. God wants to have fellowship with us. As we look at the verses that follow, that's the message that John is passing on and declaring unto us, that the message that he heard, that he's now passing on to us. He said in verse number 5, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you. So the message that he wants to declare to us is that God wants to have fellowship with us. That's a wonderful message, a tremendous message. It kind of goes along with what we've looked at on Sunday mornings the last 2 weeks. Last week, looking at the fact that we can have access to God. This morning, looking at our responsibilities. Our responsibility, Godward, let us draw near. Our responsibility, selfward, let us hold fast. And that our responsibility, manward, let us consider one another. All right, all these things, God is building a bridge so that we can have fellowship with Him. Let us draw near with a pure heart. And so God desires fellowship. That's the message that John wants us to know. God desires fellowship. He used the word twice in verse number 3. He uses it again in verse number 6 and again in verse number 7. He's emphasizing, God wants to have fellowship with us. But then there's another word he uses five times in here, and it's the word sin. Sin appears twice in the singular, twice sins in the plural, and once in verse number 10 as sinned. There's a problem with God's fellowship with us, and that problem is not on God's part. That problem's on our part. And the problem is sin. God wants to have fellowship with us, but there's something that's hindering that fellowship, and what is hindering that fellowship is sin on the part of the believer. Now, I said that for us to understand that what we're reading in this chapter is written to believers. We look at verse number 9 sometimes and think that that's a verse talking about salvation. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful salvation truth that happens when we're saved. But verse 9 isn't written to unsaved people. It's written to believers that are having a problem with fellowship with God, and the problem is their sins. Because when we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear us. How can two walk together except they be agreed? For us to have fellowship with God, we've got to deal with this issue of sin. And so that's what John is addressing in verse 5 down to verse number 10. He's addressing the message from Christ that God wants to have fellowship with us, but we have to deal with sin. Notice first of all in verse number 5, the declaration. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. I like that. John said that up in verse number 3 also, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Again, John is writing to second and third generation Christians. And what he's saying, we want you to know what we know. We want to pass on to you so you can hear what we heard. You know, when you really get a taste of salvation, when you get a taste of God, you'll want to tell other people about it. You'll want them to hear what you heard. You know, have you had a big piece of news, something big happens, and you can't wait to tell, have you heard? You tell people, have you heard what happened? And they say, no, tell me, what is it? Well, this thing about God wanting to have fellowship with man, that's something everybody should know about. That's something you should want to tell people about. And John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. We want you to know about it also. It was a blessing this morning. We had a lot of visitors here. A lot of them were family of some of you folks, and they were in town for Father's Day. That's always a blessing to have other people coming into church so that we can share the news of the gospel with everybody we can and let everybody hear it. We want it to be declared in the church auditorium. We want it to be declared on visitation on Wednesday night. We want it to be declared at the sign ministry that we started on Sunday morning. Anything we can do to declare the message is a good thing. There's no bad way to give the gospel. Just give it. You say, well, I'll mess it all up and I won't say it right. Man, a messed up presentation is better than no presentation at all. Just talk about the Lord. And John says here, this is the message which we have heard and declare unto you. We need the message passed on. We need it to go from one person to the next. The news media is manipulating people by the way they present the truth as they see it. We need people giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have that mass communication as far as we're concerned individually, but we need to declare that message. The world needs to hear what we have. And he said, this then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you. And here's his message. Here's how he frames it, that God is light. Now, there is no place that it's recorded in the gospels that Jesus Christ said, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. John is summarizing the message that he's heard from Jesus Christ, or possibly saying something that was never recorded in Scripture that he said exactly that way. But he's emphasizing to us that God wants to have fellowship with us, but in God there is nothing but light. And there is no darkness in Him at all, which is a problem for us, because we have darkness. We have spots in our feast. We have shadows around us. And yet God wants to have fellowship with us. God is light. Someone has pointed out that in the first epistle of John, the theme is God is light, God is love, and God is life. And those three truths are clearly presented here in the first epistle of John. This one, God is light. Why light? God is light? Well, just some reasons we can think of. Light touches everyone. Light touches everyone. When it's daylight out there, it touches everyone that walks into it. It's available to everyone. And that's the way God is. He's available to everyone. He is the true light, John chapter 1, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So it's adequate or it's appropriate that the message should be that God is light, because God's character, God's essence, touches everyone. Light gives heat. Light gives warmth. Light gives comfort. And that's what God does. He gives us the warmth of a relationship with Him. He gives us the communion we can have with Him. God is light. Light produces growth. Nothing grows where there's not light. And God, in God, things grow. Our relationship with Him, in Him, we can grow. God is light. Light illuminates. It brings things. It dispels darkness. You can go into those mammoth caves down there in Kentucky, and they take you down into the lowest part of it, and they warn you, we're going to turn all the lights off. It's going to be complete darkness, and they do, and you can't even see your hand right in front of your face when complete darkness consumes. And yet then they'll go and light one little match, and everybody in the place can see that one little light. Light dispels darkness. And God is light. And He shines in the darkness, and He illuminates things. He dispels darkness. The Bible says that God is light, and in Him, it could say this, and in Him is no darkness. And that would be sufficient. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. But notice, sometime I'll preach a sermon on all the times where these two words are added at the end, at all. Those two words. In Him is no darkness, at all. There are many times in the Bible where those two words are at, where the statement is clear and plain. You don't even need the at all, but God puts it on the end of it. In Him is no darkness at all. You know what Pilate said about Jesus? I find in Him no fault at all. There's no darkness. There's no stain on God. There is no shadow upon God. He is light, light, light. And some people don't come to Him because they don't like the light. They like darkness rather than light. The Bible contrasts this in the Gospel of John and the first epistle of John very clearly. In God is no darkness at all. No blemish, no inconsistency, no sin. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17, just back a few pages from where you're at. James chapter 1, verse 17. Setting the table here with the declaration that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. James chapter 1, verse 17. Notice this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of what? The Father of lights. Not only is God light, He's the Father of lights. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be stars and a moon. Let there be a sun. And there was, according to God's speaking. In Him is brightness, it's glory. When it shone to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, it knocked him to the ground. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. How can we have fellowship with a God like that? How can you and I that are human have fellowship with a God who has no shadow, no stain, no sin whatsoever concerning our condition and how we've been? We that are saved have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 now calls us children of light. All right, you see what happened? The God of lights has brought us to the light, and now we're walking in the light, and because of that, we can have fellowship with God. All because He's brought us into His marvelous light. Again, the separation between believer and unbeliever, between lost and saved. And there is a great, vast distinction between the two. Not between church member and non-church member, good person and bad person, but saved and lost. We are in the light now and are to walk in the light, and as long as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. But there's a problem. And that's what's brought up here in verse number 6. And that is the darkness. The declaration in verse 5, the darkness in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice John starts each of these remaining verses with these words, if. He says in verse number 6, if we say. Verse number 8, if we say. Verse number 10, if we say. Then the verses in between, verse 7, but if we walk. And verse number 9, if we confess. So all of these conditional clauses start all the rest of these verses. Our relationship and our walk with God, if we say, that's what we call in English grammar a conditional clause. If we do these things, it determines whether or not we have fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do not the truth. We're making a false claim and a false boast. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness. There's a lot of believers that say, well, now I'm saved, I can do anything I want to. Now, we're not going to start splitting the hairs of technicalities, but when you're saved, period. But when you're saved, God changes your want-tos. The Bible says if we walk in darkness, not if we commit an act of darkness, but if we walk in darkness. There's a big difference between the two. All of us that are saved are not sinless and perfect. There are some that say they are, and we'll cover that in verse number 10. But all of us that are saved are still sinners. We're just saved sinners. And we still make mistakes and we still sin as long as we're in the body of this flesh. But there's a difference between those acts of sin and walking in darkness. And the Bible says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, in other words, our life is continually going away from God and toward the world, then we're not having fellowship with God. Sin is the breaker of fellowship with God. And when we turn and walk after darkness instead of walking after the light, we're walking away from God. Now it starts with little steps. It starts with little things. But little things always become big things if they're not guarded against. And so John tells us, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. I appreciate John. He's being very blunt, but he's being tactful at the same time. He's including himself in the accusation. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, did Judas Iscariot really ever have fellowship with Jesus Christ? Did he ever have fellowship with Him? Or was he walking in darkness the whole time? He had in the back of his mind, we're setting up a kingdom. I'm the treasurer. I hold the bag. I don't think there was ever a moment of sincerity in Judas Iscariot's life. He was never in fellowship. He was walking with Him, sleeping next to Him, watching His miracles, but never in fellowship with Him because he was walking in darkness. You and I need to guard against that. John says if we say that we are having fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we're liars. Isn't that pretty blunt? You're just a liar. If you say that you are having fellowship with God and yet allowing that sin to remain in your life. Again, not affecting your salvation, but your fellowship with God. If we're going to fellowship with Him, we've got to be in the light as He is in the light. But the darkness comes in. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, he says this, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. You see the contrast? Light and darkness cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot stand around each other. And he says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Now that phrase, one with another, I'm not sure who that applies to. We can take that two ways. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, two people are being mentioned, us and him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, us and God. And yet it could be interpreted this way, if we walk in the light, plural, is he in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. It can go both ways. Your fellowship with God and your fellowship with other believers are dependent upon walking in the light. You know what gets a saved person out of fellowship? Sin. You know what gets a saved person out of church? Sin. Can I tell you, there's no other excuse. There's no other reason for not going to church. All folks come up with those excuses, don't they? They can give you a list that long of why they don't go to church anymore. But you know what the reason is? If they're a believer, the reason is simply sin. We saw it this morning. Forsake, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. To not do it is disobedience to God. That's sin. And folks sometimes are uncomfortable when they're walking in darkness. They're uncomfortable walking into the light. People get uncomfortable in church when they know they're hiding iniquity in their heart, hiding sin in their life, because they're worried that church is going to be the place where the Holy Spirit's going to really work on them and find it out. If we walk in the light, what is the light? God is light. John 3:19, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When we walk in the light, the Bible says, as he is in the light. He told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. We are to be the light of the world. Not a reflection of the light. We are to be the light. We are to be down here to be the light of the world. A man doesn't take a candle and hide it under a bushel. Oh no. But he puts it on a candlestick so everybody around can see it. We are to be the light of the world, but the only way to do that is to be walking in the light and having fellowship with the God of light. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Believer, it's important to walk in the light. Avoid the things of darkness. Can I give you a confession? I like to read, you know that. And I like to read sometimes things that are not studying the Bible. Some regular history, even some novels, if they're thrillers or something like that, not science fiction, not that stuff, but there's a writer named Joel Rosenberg, and Joel Rosenberg writes very exciting The Persian Gamble and all these different books. And he is a Christian man, and there's nothing in any of his books, the Marcus Riker series, there's nothing in any of those books that anybody would find any objection with. No sexuality, no bad language. In fact, a lot of gospel is given in many of them and stuff like that. I mean, there's violence. It's war and bloodshed and all that stuff, but absolutely nothing. Well, then I picked up a Tom Clancy book because I used to like reading Tom Clancy. And so I picked up a recent book that's an older book by him, and I started reading it, and I felt dirty. As soon as I started reading it, the contrast was so different. An unsaved man. Now, he's a very popular writer, wrote a lot of great books, and made some good, Hunt for Red October, made some good movies out of them. But when I started reading that book, I finally decided, I can't read this. I paid money for it. I said, I can't read this anymore because I feel dirty. It's darkness. We need to learn to spot the darkness that tries to creep in our life. Sometimes, and that's just one kind of silly illustration, but sometimes we say, well, I'll plow through it anyways because that stuff will get over with and it won't be in it after a while. And then we plow through it a little farther and it pops up again and pops up again. And every time we do that, the light that's in us is being overcome by darkness. And we need to make a decision. Am I going to keep following this darkness or am I going to throw the darkness out and follow the light? Now, I don't know what it'd be in your life, in your experience, but there's times where darkness tries to creep in. And you've got to be adamant in kicking it out the minute you spot it, because once it comes in, it doesn't stop. It pours in. He said, we have fellowship one with another when we walk in the light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I know you know the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We know that verse really well. Look at the rest of it. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Righteousness and unrighteousness are separated. Light and darkness are divided. And you and I need to follow the things that are light and get away from the things that are darkness. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. Then we have fellowship, one with another, us with God and us with one another. Darkness is what tries to destroy fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you thankful for that word all right there? Not just the sin that was on your record when you got saved, but all those little sins that have popped up since then. All those little spots of darkness that have shown themselves. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's the greatest cleanser in the world. Nothing else can wash away sin. My wife, you may or may not know, is onto a Norex. Do I call it a kick? I'm not sure what I should call it. I've got to be very careful here. I'm walking on the end of a limb and I've got to make sure it doesn't break off. And she has had sales or whatever they are online, and the ladies can go on and buy these special quality things that clean everything in the world. And if you want to know what they do, you can ask me, because I've been given the demonstration more than one time. She got a whole box full of special good stuff, and I got to get the tour. She pulled each one out one at a time and told me what they clean and how they clean it and what they do. She's excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm not making fun. I'm saying it interests her. It interests me. And I watch and I saw, and she shows me how this can do this and this can do that and this can do the other thing. And they work. They do. They really work. And I'm not trying to sell that stuff right now. I'm not getting a commission. But I know what it can't do. I know what Norex can't do. It can't wash away my sin. It can't cleanse my sin. But there's one thing that can, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we walk in the light? By getting bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now again, we're not talking about salvation when that happened. We're talking about a daily cleansing. We're talking about a regular cleansing. And the Bible tells us we do that because we want fellowship with God. Therefore, we confess our sins. Notice as we go down to verse number 8, we've talked about the declaration. We've talked about the darkness. Verse 8, we talk about the deception. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All right, I'm not going to ask the question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have sinned today? Don't raise your hand. But if I said, how many of you have sinned today and you didn't raise your hand? Verse 10, you're a liar. You're trying to make God a liar. Because God has said, all have sinned. That's a continuation. We all have sin in our life. And the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There are those that believe they have reached sinless perfection. There are Christians. I had one tell me, well, it was a different story, but one guy told me one time that he doesn't sin anymore. Is over in Indiana. He doesn't sin anymore. You know what my question was? Let me talk to your wife. Let me have a 5-minute conversation with her and see if this really holds out or not. But they say we have not sinned. There's people out there. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. John is not telling us, pretend it's not there. John is not telling us, make excuses for it. John is not telling us, make alibis. John's not even telling us, make whitewash it. Well, it was just a little white lie. Or it was just a half-truth. John says, if we say that we've not sinned, we're liars. And the truth is not in us. Not the truth as far as Jesus Christ, but the reality, the truth of fellowship with God is not in us. When we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We can't deceive others. Why in the world would we think we could deceive ourselves? We know ourselves better than anybody else knows us. We know the things we're glad nobody else knows. And yet God does and says, I want you to be in the light as I'm in the light. I don't want any darkness. Take care of the darkness. Get rid of the darkness. Cast out the darkness. Cleanse that darkness. How do we do that? What product can I get? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's powerful enough to cleanse us from all sin. Don't deceive yourself. A lot of folks, before they get saved, have a hard time believing that they're sinners. I've never understood that. I've never understood how anybody can think they're not a sinner. Because it's just so obvious. You have to be very, very self-righteous to not think you've never sinned. I mean, if you're 7 years old, how can you say, I've never sinned? Never disobeyed my parents. Never told a lie. Never taken anything that didn't belong to me. And that's at 5, 6, 7. Get a little bit older than that and try to claim, I've never sinned. And the Gospels and the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We're denying the reality of sin. But verse 9. All thank God for verse 9. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I want to walk in fellowship with You, but I've messed up. I've got a shadow here. I've got a blemish here. I've been in darkness and this thing or that thing. God, I want to get rid of it because I really want to walk with You. God says, it's simple, son. It's simple, child. All you have to do is confess it. And if you confess it, I'll forgive it. And when I forgive it, I'll cleanse it. And you can continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. You know, there are people in the Bible, I was reading recently, a fellow in the Bible that said, I have walked in the uprightness of my heart. I have not walked in iniquity. I'm not getting his words exactly right. But he said, I've walked in the uprightness of my heart. And I've read some stuff that guy did. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I know what you did. Because it's been recorded in the pages of Scripture. We all know what you did. But you know what? He confessed it. And when he confessed it, God forgave it. And when God forgave it, he could again be walking in the light. We fail to see the power of the blood of Christ. We see that we fail to see the power of forgiveness and those things that people have done. We continue looking at and seeing that, and they've moved on. They've gotten it taken care of. They've confessed it, and they're walking in the light again. Move out of the darkness. Move to the light. If we confess our sins, not excuse them or deny them, but confess them, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Can I tell you tonight, that's what God wants to do. God has to deal with our sin. He has to, because He's righteous. So when we sin, He sometimes sits back and He watches long enough and then He says, I've got to do something about this. And we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 that He will come down and He will chastise us. If we are His children, He will chastise us, because that's what a father does to a child that disobeys. And so God watches long enough until He finally says, all right, I can't allow this to go on any longer. For their benefit, I'm going to have to bring tragedy into their life. I'm going to have to do something I didn't really want to do, but I've got to steer them clear of this sin. That's not what God wants to do. What God wants to do is forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful God! A God who is light looking down upon us who are always blinded by the darkness, and yet He still says, I want to forgive them. And if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Being made clean is a benefit to us. When God makes you clean, it's a benefit to you. You know what this altar is here for? It's here as a place to get clean. I think sometimes we neglect it too long. We neglect it too hard. Anytime the Word of God is being preached or proclaimed and God pricks your heart about some shadow or darkness in your life, you know the best thing you could do is get down on your knees at an altar and say, God, dispel the darkness. Help me to return to the light. God, help me to spot the darkness that's trying to invade my life. We need to deal with that darkness. Because God wants to have fellowship with us, and God has said, if you'll just confess it, I'll forgive it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It benefits us, and if we can say it this way, it benefits the Father. Now He doesn't have to chastise us. Now He doesn't have to work the hard way. He can simply forgive it. Oh, isn't that much better? Just having the Father say, I forgive you, than having the Father say, all right, here's what we're going to do. You don't want those words. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, if we say that we have not sinned, today, Sunday, June 20th, 2021, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Boy, that's pretty dastardly, isn't it? Not only are you a liar if you say you have no sin because you're lying about yourself, deceiving yourself, but you're making God a liar because God has said all have sinned. God has said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God has declared these things, and if we contradict God, we're not walking in fellowship with Him. Again, none of this is about losing salvation. It's about not being in fellowship with God. And the thing that breaks our fellowship is our failure to acknowledge sin. Call sin what it is. Don't call it a little mistake. Don't call it an error. Don't call it a wrong decision. Call it sin. And deal with it as sin. And confess it to the Father as sin, and then get up and walk in the light as He is in the light. And He has fellowship, and we have fellowship one with another. God desires fellowship with each and every one of us individually, with us as a church collectively. And the only thing that dispels that fellowship or breaks that fellowship is sin. Deal with sin so that you can have fellowship. This is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.